Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it is 28 degrees and windy. It's Friday, January 20th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. Life is slowly returning to normal in the community of Cordova after more than 18 feet of snowfall brought the town to a standstill earlier this month. The Alaska National Guard was activated to help the town dig out. One of its members, 24-year-old Private First Class Charles Rusk, is from Sitka. Rusk spoke with KCAW about his experiences. He said his unit, the Wasilla-based 297th Military Police Company, was conducting a training exercise at Fort Richardson in Anchorage on January 7th when they got news they might have to activate.
The Wasilla team was loading up the Humvees and were ready to drive back to Wasilla to get into our cars and go home when they told us to stop.
Rusk and the others were told they had to return to the fort in the morning. They were bused to Whittier, loaded onto the state ferry Fairweather, and transported to Cordova. Rusk says they received a warm welcome from some of the city's 2,200 residents.
They were cheering us when we came in. A lot of people were taking pictures. They would stop on the side of the road to thank us. People came in and shook our hand. On the last day, some people just came in and just gave everybody hugs. So it was a lot of outpouring and a lot of support from the city.
When they arrived, some of the buildings had already collapsed and others were in danger. Rusk told KCAW News that soldiers went to work on two schools, a couple of canneries, and an apartment building.
Sitka doesn't get a lot of snow, obviously. People in Sitka know that, but a lot of folks around the state don't realize that. So when we did get to Cordova and everything, they're like, I told them, I'm from Sitka normally. They're like, oh, good. At least you know something about removing snow. And I had always had to bite my tongue a little bit. It's like, yeah, not really.
I think it's hard to picture 18 feet of snow. How do you describe what that looks like to somebody who's never seen it before?
It looks white. It's usually, in a lot of places, it was over our head. And so, I mean, even I'm 6'3", and so it was kind of interesting having stuff taller than you and being all around.
Rusk says members of his company estimated removing more than 250,000 pounds of snow in the 8 days they spent in Cordova, where local crews had already been working for days to keep up with the problem. Plows and heavy machines worked in 12-hour shifts, 24 hours a day. And just as the residents of Cordova were happy to see the National Guard, Rusk says his company was grateful for everyone's effort and the hospitality they received in Cordova.
The people of Cordova were incredibly helpful. They were really nice towards us. They fed us incredibly well. I mean, like, I think I actually gained weight while I was doing all that work. And they wouldn't stop giving us, you know, they baked us cakes for the last day. They wouldn't stop giving us brownies, cookies, things of that nature. They just piled it on to us. And so, really, the people of Cordova made it all worthwhile.
Rusk says in addition to the hard work of residents, his company was also thankful for the help the town received from the crew of the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Sycamore. And he says he hopes to return to Cordova, but next time under better circumstances. The interim general manager at the Sitka Tribe of Alaska can settle into his office. The tribal council hired Ted Wright as their full-time general manager at a meeting on Wednesday. KCAW's Ed Ronco has more.
Ted Wright has actually been here before. He served as general manager of the Sitka Tribe from 1992 until 1995. He also was on the tribal council from 82 to 85. Since September, he's been serving as interim general manager, and he was clear back then that he would seek the position full-time.
I've been wanting to come back for years, really. It's just a question of employment in Sitka. It's hard to find. The kind of work I do is not available very often.
Before his return to Sitka, Wright was managing the Lummi Indian Business Council in Bellingham, Washington. About 10 years ago, he also served as general manager of the Douglas Indian Association in Juneau when the organization was rebuilding. He's also worked as a consultant to other tribal organizations. Wright holds a doctorate in education from Penn State University, and he did his undergrad work at Southern Oregon State College, which is now Southern Oregon University. He's a 1974 graduate of Sitka High School and an enrolled citizen of the tribe. He also taught at Mount Edgecombe High School when it first reopened. Wright was among 13 or 14 candidates for the job, says tribe chairman Woody Widmark. The council interviewed three or four finalists before settling on Wright.
No pun intended, he's the right guy.
Puns aside, Widmark says Wright impressed the council, especially during his time as interim manager.
He really wanted this position. He really did. So he's given his heart and soul as an interim. He's a hard worker. his passion is the tribe, basically. So he'll do good.
And he'll have plenty to do. Wright says it's going to be a busy year for the tribe.
We have a lot of facilities issues. Those need to be dealt with. I think we need to grow in some areas where we may have retrenched over the years for various reasons, having to do with social services, behavioral health, and treating the whole person when it comes to the various issues our tribal citizens deal with. I think we're going to have a lot of momentum in that area, economic development.
The tribe is also gearing up to raise more public awareness toward its feelings on Sitka's commercial herring fishery. It's also considering the role it should play in reestablishing the Southeast Alaska Indian Cultural Center, a separate nonprofit organization which suffered major setbacks after alleged financial mismanagement. The tribe's general manager job is similar to the municipal administrator's position in city government. Wright will oversee day-to-day operations, but ultimately, it's the 9-member tribal council that makes final decisions and sets the agenda for the year ahead.
They may give me a whole different set of marching orders, so, it's not my decision which way we go. I just carry out the orders.
The council meets in retreat over the weekend to set those long-term goals. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Governor Sean Parnell yesterday made his first public comment on the resignation of controversial state wildlife official Corey Rossi. Parnell said he agreed with Fish and Game Commissioner Cora Campbell's decision to keep Rossi on the job, even after she learned that he was questioned as part of a criminal investigation.
Each case is going to be different, and who knew what when and all that. So my view is that when a person is charged with a crime that directly relates to their job, they need to be removed. Anything short of that is dependent on a case-by-case basis.
Rossi was charged last week with 12 misdemeanor counts related to an illegal black bear hunt that took place in June 2008. Prosecutors say he lied on state hunting reports to cover up who shot 3 of the 4 bears killed in the hunt. Parnell and Commissioner Campbell say they knew that Rossi was to be interviewed, but did not know the nature of the investigation until after the charges became public. Rossi was director of the State Division of Wildlife Conservation. His lack of qualifications and advocacy of controversial predator control policies made him a divisive figure within the Department of Fish and Game. Parnell made his comments yesterday at a press availability in Juneau. And Governor Parnell says an oil tax cut bill deemed problematic by the Senate's president represents meaningful tax reform. Parnell repeatedly called for meaningful tax reform during his State of the State address on Wednesday. Yesterday, at the same press availability, he told reporters that meaningful reform and the tax cut bill passed by the House last year were one and the same. Parnell says the bill, HB 110, is capable of boosting investment and production significantly. He says he wants the Senate to hold hearings on it. That's unlikely. Senate President Gary Stevens said the bill has problems and that he'd like to see an oil tax bill come from the Senate instead. Parnell says he has yet to hear a proposal from the Senate that would make a huge impact on production. And House Democrats pledged to fight the governor's plan to reduce oil taxes. In the House minority response to the governor's State of the State address, Minority Leader Beth Curtula called Parnell's plan a giveaway.
Alaskans are already investing hundreds of millions of dollars every year in the oil industry in tax credits, $3 billion in the last 4 years. Through these credits, actually, we are the biggest investor on the North Slope.
Curtula said Alaskans should know where their money is going. House Democrats voted against Parnell's bill last session when it passed the House. The caucus this year supports legislation that would increase reporting requirements for oil companies claiming tax credits, including the number of jobs created and the number of Alaskans employed in those jobs. Democrats also advocate legislation that would invest $10 billion of Alaska's nearly $13 billion surplus into the state's permanent fund.
We've got to save some of our surplus in the permanent fund. That's what that fund does. It turns a resource that's not renewable into future resources for future generations of Alaskans.
Curtula also called for investment in education and job training. She criticized Parnell's education budget, which includes money for rural school construction and college scholarships, but the amount districts receive for operations is the same as last year. Districts across the state stand to lose revenue. House Democrats are calling for legislation that would require the state to annually adjust the base student allocation for inflation. A majority of salmon packers are leaving a certification program. 75% of Alaska packers are reportedly withdrawing from the Marine Stewardship Council's fisheries certification program next fall when the current agreement expires. The program verifies a fishery's sustainability and makes sure best practices are observed. Industry watcher John Sacton of Seafood.com says such certification was once rare and valued, but as more fisheries became certified, it's begun to lose stature. The Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute says it will provide third-party certification. And more on Governor Sean Parnell and education. The governor says he's open to discussing ways to help school districts meet fixed costs, but he says he has problems with increases in formula programs, including raising the base student allocation. Parnell says in difficult economic times domestically and abroad, Alaska must remain as liquid as it can financially. He says his current budget proposal balances at about $96 per barrel oil. He says if prices fall below that, the state would pull from savings. He says over four academic years, education spending rose by about $183 million, while costs rose and the number of students remained about the same. A major teachers' union, House Democrats, and some senators are calling for an increase in school funding. So in weather forecast today for Sitka and PA, it calls for wind and snow. Snow accumulation 2 to 8 inches, highest amounts on the east side of Baranoff Island. Highs around 31, east winds 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts to 40 miles per hour today. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka.